We'll be looking at Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. Since there's seven verses, I'll read them as we go along. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Therefore, what is the therefore? Therefore, it's causing us to look back. Looking back to the beginning of the chapter, looking back to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, where we saw that we have been saved by grace, where we have seen that we are united in Christ, that we're part of the body, how we each have a unique gifting by the Holy Spirit to serve, how we're being built up through gifted individuals given by Jesus Christ to the body of Christ. So Paul is saying, therefore, in light of these facts, no longer walk as the rest of those who are not saved. You are to walk a new walk. You are no longer as the rest. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, because of what Christ has done, because of the new birth, we are new creatures. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And sometimes, I know I go to these cross-references quickly. If you can't keep up with me, just write it down and look later on. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, here's another therefore. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are a child of God, you have been changed. And Paul's saying, no longer live as the world lives. No longer walk as the Gentiles walk. There is to be a distinct difference. What does it say? All things have passed away. Not they're going to pass away. There's a chance they're going to pass away. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new if you're a child of God. Why are you living the way that you're living? As if you were still a Gentile. The world walks, notice what the text says. And back to Ephesians 1. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Remember, this is a Jewish person writing to predominantly Jews in Ephesians. And he's saying, no longer walk as Gentiles. Don't walk in the vanity, in the futility of the emptiness. That which is wasted on nothing. We saw that in the movie last night. Right? A Vanity Fair. Everything was offered. The vanity of this world. The futility of this world. Paul speaks of the mind. It all takes place in the mind. Look at Romans 1. In verse 28. Paul's saying, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't keep living like a pagan. You're a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, notice, God gave them over to a debased mind. That's pretty severe words. That wouldn't go well in too many secret churches. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And the Lord is saying, listen, You were one of those people at one time. I came, I regenerated you, I raised you from the dead, I put my spirit inside you. Now walk that way. No longer walk in the futility of your mind. God, in his mercy, didn't give you over to the debased mind. If you're here today and you're a child of God, in his mercy, he didn't give you over to a debased mind. If you're here today and you are not a child of God, God Almighty says that he will give you over to a debased mind. Pretty severe words. The mind of the unbeliever is debased, corrupt, depraved, reprobate. So much for the people that think we're all gods. We're all little gods. Debased, corrupt, depraved, reprobate mind. This is what God says. Turn to Genesis 6, verse 5. For you that would be a humanist, for you that think that men and women are evolving, this is where God's indictment is of the human race going back thousands of years. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's God's indictment of the human race. If you have a problem with me, you have a problem with God. He's the one that said it. I'm just passing it on to you. I'm just serving that appetizer for you. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. That's the true condition of men and women. When we think that, okay, people can just turn to Christ, they just, okay, I made him my Lord, I made him my Savior. The condition of the human race is very serious, but we don't look at it that way. The words that Paul is using, turn back to Ephesians 4, verse 18. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their mind, verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Notice. Being alienated from the life of God. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. You are alienated from God, from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance. You think you're smart. God Almighty says you are ignorant. Ignorant. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Many believers say, oh, I don't understand why they don't believe. I don't understand why they don't see it. God tells you why. They're blind. Not only are they blind, they're depraved, they're ignorant. And when I'm saying they, I was one of they. And that's bad English, but you know exactly what I mean. I was one of them Gentiles. One of those Gentiles. But it's not until you see yourself that way that you will ever come to Christ. If you think you're a pretty fine individual, a pretty good egg, that God's kind of just waiting on you to turn to him so he can be satisfied, you are sadly mistaken. The scripture says you would flee from the wrath of God. Flee from the wrath to come. This is your true condition, and God is being merciful that you're even able to hear this. Given over to the debased mind. And Paul's telling you these things before he says to you, now listen, in light of this, in light of the grace of God in your life, this is what you should be doing. Verse 19, it just gets worse. I think I'm reading Romans 3 here. Paul's just putting one pearl string after another. Pearl stringing is a rabbinic technique. You take one thought, you put another thought, you put another thought, you put another thought, you make a nice little chain, and you put it on the person's neck that you're having an argument with. And Paul's telling every pagan, this is your true condition. The futility of your mind, understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, blindness of their heart, verse 19, who being passed feeling. Being past feeling. Have given themselves over to lewdness. Look at these words that are being used. Is this really what you wanted to say on your tombstone? Here lies somebody with a debased mind. Here lies an ignorant person. Here lies a person alienated from the life of God. Here's a person that was given over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. You got to admit, these words wouldn't sell many products. If I was selling Christ as a product, I wouldn't tell you these words. But I'm not selling Christ as a product. I'm portraying Christ in all of his glory so you flee from the wrath to come. Because you ain't leaving here today saying, he didn't tell me. It's like, this is the truth that God Almighty proclaims. You take it up with him. This is what he says. Alienated, darkened, ignorance, blindness, which refers to stubbornness. When you're confronted with the truth, you refuse to embrace it. You make every excuse in the world. And verse 19 says, you're beyond feeling. You've lost the sense of pain, not being bothered any longer in conscience. And this is the attitude. And did you ever notice how when you first get involved in a sin, it really bothers you? Then a little less, then a little less, and then a little less. That's what Paul's saying. You're past feeling. You cannot even comprehend that you have offended the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy God, you have offended him every moment of your life. The thoughts and the intentions of men and women was wicked continually. Every thought and intention. No matter how good you thought your thought was, God said it was wicked. Why does this keep popping? Any particular reason? And this is the attitude. And ask yourself the question, is this your attitude? The attitude of the pagan, the unbeliever, is this. It keeps popping. It'll keep people awake at least. If the preaching don't keep them awake, the popping will keep them awake. What am I doing here? But you just wanted to get on the tape. You good there?
Yeah, we'll keep this in the backup if you have to.
Do what?
And just in case it goes down, we use this. In case it goes down, we use
it. All right, where was that? All right, this is the attitude. Excuse that popping that was going on. This is the attitude of the unbeliever. And many of us sometimes that are believers. I will do what I please, when I please, with whom I please, and I don't care what anyone says or thinks about it. In other words, as the old hippies used to say, let your freak flag fly. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. That's the cry of the hedonist. I'll do whatever I want to do, whatever I please, when I please, with whom I please, and I don't care what anyone says or thinks about it. But the Bible says each and every one of us are accountable to God. It's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. Notice how wicked the lost become. Have given themselves over. Notice the word there. To work. That's your job. Your job is being wicked. To work all uncleanness, working hard to do your best at being lewd and unclean. What an indictment of humanity. So much for the enlightenment. That man is evolving into a greater creature. Well, that's not exactly what God says in the text. And it's all done with greediness. It's all done for self-gratification. You become your own God and you worship yourself. And we're right back in the garden again. God knows the day you eat of that tree, you will know the difference between good and evil. The only problem is, and when you're given over to a debased mind, nothing's evil anymore. Nothing's bad anymore. Just look around you. I don't think this society and these people are any worse than they were in Genesis. Same sins, there's no new sins. It's just different ways that they play. That is how the lost live, though. The saints of God are to be different. I had to give you the bad news before I can give you the good news. That's the way that the Lord always works. He tells you the bad news first, and then the good news is that much sweeter. That's how the lost live. The saints of God are to be different. Why? Because you're a new creature. You're a new creature, but you still got this body of death. You're still tempted. You're tempted to sin, and the struggle, this battle goes on. Now it's the popping of the car. They're right there, all trying to get in. And this battle goes on. And Paul is telling you in the text, right, to put off concerning, we're in verse 22 now, that you were in Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, that you put off. You count it as true as everything that the scripture is saying, that you are this new creature. But unfortunately, we don't do that. We don't put it off because we see the temptation still there. We see ourselves falling into sin, and we don't believe what the scripture says. When Paul says that you're to put off concerning your, notice, former conduct, that is what you were. Now by faith you put off, and we're going to see about putting on, but putting off. When the Lord saved us, he changed us. He made us like himself, and he delivered us from being like the world. Since having been changed by the power of God, there are certain truths that we must believe by faith. See, what happens is people look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, all these indicatives, this is what you are, this is what you are, this is what you are, this is what you are. And then they get to chapter 4, and it's like, oh, here comes all the imperatives. This is what I got to do now. 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 Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't do this. Put on, put off. Do this, do that, and the other thing. But even this, where it's saying that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. This is a new creature. Do you realize that? If you are a new creature, or maybe you're just playing religion. You come, you went to church all your life, and that's what you do. You go to church on Sunday. Are you a new creature? Are you a new creature? That's what Christ was telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And Christ tells him, don't you know that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? Here's a Jewish carpenter telling a religious Jew, listen, unless you're born again, you're damned. You ain't even going to see the kingdom of God. And then he takes sinful men and people that I just described. He changes them. He makes them new creatures. That's what true Christianity is about. It ain't about playing some kind of church game, some religious game. He's talking about you're a new creature. And now you entered this battle. And every day this battle is going on. And who are you going to give in to? That's what Paul's saying here. And Paul's saying, turn to Colossians. He's saying, listen, this news is so good about putting on and putting off. Because there's some debate about that text in Ephesians. Because it is text in Colossians. Is it an imperative? Or is it in the aorist tense, which is an action completed in the past? This is what Paul says in Colossians. If you were debating which way or the other, you thought about it. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you notice you have put off the old man with his deeds. And you have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. God is saying basically, you are this already. So now by faith, count that to be true. You're a new creature, but everything in the world tells you differently, including this body of death that we still have. The Lord has put his spirit in you. The only problem is you still carry this body of death around. And it still likes kind of its old appetites. And whatever sins you liked before, well, you got a tendency to still like them. The only difference as a child of God, now he put his spirit in you. And you can say no to that. And you can count it to be true that you are a new creature. Look at Romans 6. This is what it means that if you notice the scripture three times says the just shall live by faith. That's what it means. Moment by moment, you count all of these truths to be true that you find in the scripture. I just said about the new man, about the new creature, about putting off. It means counting it to be true. That's how you do it. Not you pull your bootstraps on. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to pull it off. I'm going to. No. Look at Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you're in sin, you're not counting yourself to be dead to sin. And how do you count yourself dead to be sin? How do you count yourself to be dead to sin? By faith. At that moment you're ready to commit sin, you count by faith that you're a new creature. And you put off those old things, and you count it to be true, those new things. By faith. It's all done by faith. Notice what it says. Count it to be true. Reckon it to be true, depending on what translation you got. That means just like you go to the bank, and you got a bank statement, and you believe Bank of America says you got X amount of dollars in the bank. That's what the Lord is saying there in Romans. Count that to be true. I'm telling you, you're dead to sin. So when you're in sin, you're saying, God, I don't believe you. He says, that sin, I remember I was involved in sin, cried out for years, Lord, deliver me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, deliver me. And one day I heard an old preacher say, why are you praying for the Lord to deliver you? When Romans 6:11 says, you have been delivered, now count it to be true. And you know what? That sin just went poof. A sin that was there for decades. And I counted it to be true that I'm dead to sin. And that's what we have to do. That's how you put it off and you put on. By faith. Renewed now. Notice how you do. Look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians 4. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I don't read my Bible. Say, well, how are you going to be renewed? You don't memorize. You don't meditate. You don't open the scripture up. And you wonder why. Why am I involved in all this sin? Well, first of all, if you got to believe the promises and you're not studying the Bible, well, how do you even know what the promises are? You can't even know the promises. That's why it's so important to study the Bible and study it in context and keep it in context. And not willy-nilly, okay, I open it up, this is the Lord's will for me. And Judas hung himself. Oh, I better change that one. That ain't his will for me today. You got to study the Bible systematically, biblically, sit under teachers. And renew your mind. It says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, this is Paul speaking. Brothers, I beseech you by the tender mercies of God that you no longer present, that you do present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Just like you see that butterfly. Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. That's what he's saying in Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that for this purpose that you put on the new man. Notice, which was created. God's created this new man already. And simply by faith you count that as true now. And you live your life as a new man, as a new woman, with whom God has put his spirit in. That's the new covenant. And I will put my spirit in you. That's the one that causes you to say no to sin He's the one that grants you the faith to believe the promises. It's the Spirit that has been put in you, renewing the spirit of your mind. When the Lord made us alive, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to wait on you this time to get there, because it's that important. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Because there's so many people just think the Christian life is these rules and regulations. I can't do that. I can't do that. I got to be miserable today. I got to be miserable every week. God is a party pooper, you know. That's not what this is. You're supposed to have joy, you know, have it overflowing. If you don't have joy overflowing, you are doing something wrong, because there's a promise. God said you would have an abundant life. Joy would be overflowing. So why is that not true in your life? God didn't lie. So obviously he's got something to do with you. But anybody that thinks the Christian life is, that's the flesh telling you, hey, dude, missus, I like those appetites. Oh, easy with that Christianity stuff. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great, not just great, exceedingly great, notice, and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So you're a new creation. Here you are, this the base, lewd person. God comes, regenerates you when you're dead in your sins and trespasses, and he makes you a partaker of the divine nature. Now, if that is true, how in the world would you possibly expect to act? You can't act like a pagan any longer and participate in all lewdness and corruption and wickedness and everything. A partaker of the divine nature. I mean, how do you comprehend that? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, if you're not reading, you don't even know it. And how are you just disregarding that? Exceedingly great and precious promises. And when you realize that, by faith, you put off that old man. You'd be like, phew. And really what it is a picture of this. Lazarus come out of the tomb with the grave clothes on. The only problem now is that we, as children of God, we have the royal robes of righteousness on. We have wedding garments on us. And how many of us were running around and looked like we just came out of the tomb? We're all wrapped up. We're all wrapped up in our sin and our wickedness. And the Lord's like, I delivered you from that. I delivered you from that. Now by faith, count that to be true. Dead to sin, but alive to God. You're walking around with all these stinking grave clothes on. And you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And you have the wedding garments on. You're prepared for the marriage to the Lamb. And these are all done deals. This is not if you make it. If you're good enough. The scripture doesn't teach that. It teaches you're saved by grace. Notice, all that wickedness that I read you, that's when God saved you. So he doesn't save you and then go, well, now if you sin, I'm going to dump you. God saves you when you were that person in Ephesians, given over to all kinds of wickedness and the vanity of your mind and everything. And God's saying, now you're a new creature. Now act that way. That's basically what he's saying. You are a new creature. Now behave that way. Can you honestly say that your life displays that to the world? I don't know your family, I don't know your friends, I don't know your job. But do they actually say, you know, I knew that guy, I knew that girl. And man, were they wicked. But something happened. Something did happen. The old has passed away. Behold. That word behold, are you beholden? Behold, all things have become new. And Father, I would pray that each and every one of us today would realize that, that we are new creatures. That behold, the old has passed away. I would pray, Father, that you would grant each of us faith to count that to be true. That we would walk in newness of life. That we would walk in the robes that actually we're dressed in already. It's not like a bride going to get dressed up at the last minute when Christ comes. We're dressed already. And we need to realize that we have been changed. And Father, if there's any in our midst that heard the law proclaimed, talking about a debased mind and greediness and the vanity of their minds, I would pray, Father, that even now you would grant repentance and faith. That even now, such a one would be regenerated. That even now, as they're hearing these words being spoken, that they would even be crying out in their soul right now, yes, that's me, yes, I'm guilty, but the good news is that Christ came to die for the sins of his people. And I would pray that you would flee to Christ today, that you need not be amongst those that would be under the wrath of God, but that you could be a child of God and enjoy his love for all eternity. I would beg with you and plead with you the horrors and the terrors that are coming upon this world, and not only this world, but the moment that you would die apart from Christ. I would not be a lover of your soul if I did not warn you of coming judgment. But I also would bring you the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And I would plead with you today that you would come to Christ and be reconciled. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.